Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Today we're going to talk about the best gifts. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And we are going to read from verse 8 about the best gifts. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? The subject matter today is spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abides faith, hope, love." These three. But the greatest of these is love. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you because you are God. There is none beside you. We praise you for your Son Jesus, the only avenue to salvation and relationship with you, O God. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made upon Calvary for our sins. For the Lamb without blemish that was sacrificed on our behalf. But we rejoice to know that it didn't end in the grave, Lord, but that Jesus rose from that grave and today is seated at your right hand. And that, Lord, you have made the promise to call all those who will call upon you. So today, Lord, I pray that your presence will move among us in a mighty way so that we may know we have been in your presence. Convict of sin. Comfort the brokenhearted. Encourage, Lord, those who are downtrodden. Lord, we love you. And we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we speak of spiritual gifts, first of all, I want you to understand what spiritual gifts are. In this context that we're talking today, spiritual gifts are gifts from God that are supernatural that can be explained by no other avenue other than that had to be God. Okay? I mean, it's that ability that's beyond the capability of man where you back up and say, that's the hand of God. All right? And in chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul spends these three chapters going over and talking about spiritual gifts. And in chapter 12, verse 31, he told us to earnestly desire the best gifts. I don't know about you, but I want the best. Amen. I want the best that God has to offer. And I don't mean that selfishly. But if there's something that the Lord says, here, you can have this, I want that. You know? I want God's best. And that's what Paul has encouraged. Is you can have and you should desire the very best from God. Because today we're going to talk about the three spiritual gifts that will make you a superhero in the kingdom of God. You like the idea of being a superhero in the kingdom of God? I'm going to tell you how to get there. But first, we're going to talk about the spiritual tools of the trade that were present back in Paul's day. All right? Or we're going to talk about all of the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 12, 13, and 14. First of all, first spiritual gift was the gift of prophecy. Now prophecy, we think of prophecy as the book of Revelation, but that's not the meaning of the word prophecy as it's used in this text and in the Bible. That word prophecy simply means to declare God's message, having received it directly from God. All right? That is a man who God had said, this is what I want you to tell the people. And that man would stand before the people and tell them what God had told him. All right? That's what prophecy was in that day. Right? It was hearing from God through supernatural channels and God selecting that man to tell the people. Second thing I want you to know. Tongues. The gift of tongues. I wish it had been translated differently. But it wasn't. So you need to understand what tongues are. Tongues were not just mindless. And I don't mean this disrespectful, but I don't know how else to put it. Tongues were not mindless babble. Okay? Tongues were languages. That was real language. That real people spoke. And if you had the gift of tongues, that meant that God had given you the ability to speak a language that you had no training in. Wouldn't that be cool? Just, you're in a setting of Spanish people and all you speak is English and all of a sudden the power of God comes upon you and you just begin to preach the gospel in Spanish. That would be cool. I don't care who you are, right? That would be awesome. Spiritual gift of tongues. Knowledge. And knowledge, the spiritual gift of knowledge was just basically the possession of information about God. That nobody else knew. There was wisdom, the application of that knowledge. Some people were blessed of God on how to apply the things that they knew about God. The gift of healing. Now that was a good one. Can you imagine putting your hands on some lame man who had never walked in his life and saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, and that guy get up and jump around and walk home. That'd be cool. Again, that would be awesome. No explanation other than the power of God there. The spiritual gift of miracles. The ability to produce a supernatural result. Whether it's raising the dead or making an axe head float to the surface. parting the Red Sea. You know, I mean, those supernatural, where you just back up and say, wow, that had to be God because I know you couldn't do that. The discerning of spirits or the ability to evaluate good spirits or demon spirits. The interpretation of tongues. Teachers, the gift of helps, the gift of administrations, which administrations is leadership, managerial skills. All right? Those were the spiritual gifts that Paul had talked about. Now, I want you to understand why these gifts were given. These gifts were not given so that there could be some spiritual super show. Okay? These gifts had a purpose, a goal, if you will. And the purpose of these gifts was, number one, so that men could hear from God. Right? First and foremost, so that mankind could hear from God. You see, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that for prophecy came or never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God chose that man. He gave him the message and that man passed it along to the people. That was the point of spiritual gifts so that people could hear from God. But the problem was this. Anybody could get up and say, I have a message from God. Right? And anybody that would get up and say, I have a message from God, most people are going to back up and say, well, what makes you God's messenger? So God gave spiritual gifts so that men could, so that men would see that, yeah, this guy really is from God. He really does have God's message, because I want to tell you, you can listen to a man and you can say, maybe yes, maybe no. But if you listen to a man and then he lays his hands on somebody and raises them from the dead, it's going to catch your attention, right? It's going to make you say, whoa, this man has to be from God, because that's the only way he could do what he did. And that's what's meant in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, when we read, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. You see, God gave these gifts so that the men of God, as they would stand and proclaim the message of God, and people would say, oh, who made you God's messenger? Then they do a gift and exercise these spiritual gifts. And the folks say, okay, wow, I'm with you. That's the whole point. of these supernatural spiritual gifts that we just covered. But there was coming a day when these supernatural spiritual tools, if you will, would be terminated. And they would be removed. And the reason is because they would no longer be needed. Here we go. In verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. You know what that word fail means? Literally what it says. Fail. Fall, you know, be cast off. Be cast aside. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. You see, and he goes on, and at the end, he says in verse 13, and now abides. That word abide means endure, will always be around. And now abides faith, hope, and love. Right? So he's saying, all these other supernatural, miraculous gifts are going to cease. But you're going to always have three. And those three gifts will be faith, hope, and love. And here's the reason that these gifts were removed. Paul said in verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. Remember, prophecy was about God revealing His message to man, and man relaying that message to other men, right? And when he says, we know in part, you've got to ask ourselves the question, what's partial? What's the part that Paul talks about knowing? Well, he's talking about knowing what they knew at that time, all right? And using what God made available at that time. Why did they have to do that? Because they didn't have the whole story. He said, when that which is perfect is come, and here's another, everybody get this, all right? That word perfect literally means complete, right? When that which is complete, I wish it had been translated that way, but it wasn't. When that which is complete is done, is come, that which is partial shall be done away. Does it make sense? They were living in a time when it was partial. But there was coming a day when they would have complete. Complete what? Complete knowledge. Do you realize what he's talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. Okay? He's talking about when the Word of God comes, we're going to have the rest of the story. You see, that was the revelation. The Word of God was the revelation that made these gifts obsolete. When that which is perfect or complete shall come, that which is apart shall be done away. They didn't. When they had the completed Word of God, they no longer needed those miraculous spiritual gifts. Why? Because they had everything they needed to know from God. Do you realize you have all you want and everything you need to know about God today? It's called the Word of God. And when folks, you know, I get really suspicious when folks say, God had a word from God. Really? What did God say? Now, don't get me wrong. God has spoken to hearts, and I get that, okay? But when somebody comes up with some new left field theology about, I got a word from God, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Those days are gone. Why? Because we have the whole story. Do you realize in the Bible, you want to know where you came from? Go to the book of Genesis. It's there. You want to know the history of mankind? Go read that Old Testament, how everything the Jews went through and the parting of the sea by Moses and the floods and the days of Noah. And we have all that history. Then we get to the New Testament in the days of Jesus and we see the life and the times of Jesus Christ. And we go all the way to the very end, the book of Revelation, how that Jesus is going to return and rapture His church out. And we know the 7-year tribulation period, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We know how it's all going to end. We have it all right here. You know? That was the point of many of these miraculous spiritual gifts at that time, was to get God's Word into the hands of mankind. All right? But today, We have God's Word in our hands. You want to know how to be a husband? Get in the Word. You want to know how to be a church member? Get in the Word. You want to know how to live? Get in the Word. And I don't care if you are a preacher, a pastor, a teacher. If what you teach is not confirmed by the Word of God, you're wrong. Okay? That was the point of these miraculous spiritual gifts. Now, when I say that, do not get me wrong. Okay? God is God. I did not say that God could not perform a miracle. I did not say that. Alright? God can do anything God wants to do. He can heal the sick. He can lift up the fallen. I mean, He can restore a life that's broken into pieces. God is still God. But He's not revealing Himself through men like He did in the days of the Apostle Paul. That's my point. You know? If you're sick, you don't need me to slap you in the head and say, rise up and walk. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Now, if you're sick and you want prayer, let's get God's people together and we'll surround you and we'll pray for you. And beloved, I believe that works. Okay? That does. But these miraculous gifts ceased after we had the Word of God in our hands. Right? But I never want you to misunderstand. He's got just as much power as He's ever had. And He can do things that He's done in the past. And it's God. Alright? So, here's what we have. Our spiritual tools of today. It says in verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love. Faith, conviction, belief, trust, hope, a confident expectation, love, an attitude of affection, a conscious choice to show that affection. But we've got to figure out, but Brother Doug, that's boring. I mean, can you imagine? Back in Paul's day, they were raising people from the dead. And now Paul says, here's what you've got. You've got faith, hope, and love. But I want you to stop and think for just a minute. The things that we have today are things that come from the inside. Where do we need it the most today? On the inside. All right? These things are not something that is a wild show. These are things that work and walk with you day by day. For example, faith. All right? See, faith is the seed, if you will, the seed of passion. Faith is what makes us do what we do. Philippians 4:31. I don't know if I put that in there or not. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to understand, we talk about faith and we think, yeah, faith is just believing in God. Oh, no, no, no. Faith is so much more than just a common acknowledgement of God. Faith is a passion that brings us to action. Okay? You see, we read about the heroes of faith. If you want to see faith, and you can see faith, right? Hebrews 11, heroes of faith. And in these Hebrews, heroes of faith, we read about men like Abel. And it said Abel, who had offered a sacrifice to God, says Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And he did it by faith. By faith, it says Enoch had his testimony that he pleased God, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not because God took him. He did what he did because of faith. By faith, Noah moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. Why did Noah build an ark? Because he had faith that God knew what he was doing, that God was God, and he had the right to tell Noah to do whatever he wanted to do. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of his homeland. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because they knew he was a special child. By faith, Moses chose to suffer the affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, faith is not just something that is a mere acknowledgement. Faith is a spiritual gift of passion and action toward serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why James said, faith without works is dead. Okay? You see, faith is a conviction that God's God, and I'm going to act on it. Then there's the gift of hope. Hope, I think, is a trust that allows God to be God, or a trust that God will be God. A confident expectation, if you will. You know, we look at hope as that's what happens after this life. I want to tell you, my hope is not just after this life. My hope is the here and now. Okay? I don't just need Jesus for heaven. I need Jesus for this life. For the attacks from Satan from day to day. And you know, we're told in the Word of God, and maybe I didn't put this down, I didn't. But in Hebrews 3:5, we're told, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you walk with that confidence every day? When you face the trials and the battles of life, I need the spiritual gift of hope because Satan keeps on beating. And have you ever noticed when it rains, it pours? It never just comes one thing at a time. It comes one dozen at a time. Right? And there are times when I just need to sense and be able to know that God is still with me, and He will be with me tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That no matter how Satan attacks me and no matter what this life brings, that I cannot be separated from the love of God. You see, that's a gift, a spiritual gift, a spiritual confidence, if you will. We need faith, we need passion, we need that trust to allow God to be God. And then finally, oh, how we need the last spiritual gift, the gift of love. You see, love is caring enough to put into practice what you say you believe. Oh, I can talk all day long about how I love Jesus. But quite frankly, love shows. Right? Quite frankly, if I love Jesus, my life is going to reflect it in the choices that I make. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. It says, love suffers long. And it's kind. Have you ever wondered, why do I do this? Why do I keep going? Why do I keep doing what I'm doing for the Lord? Well, here's the answer. Because you love Him. Men will forsake you. Men will let you down. Men will disappoint you. Oh, but if you love God, you keep pressing forward. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there's one thing that this world needs, it's people of love. People that can look at other people realizing their imperfections and their unworthiness and love them anyway. You see, that's the godly love that I'm talking about, because that's the love that was shown towards you and toward me by Jesus Christ Himself. The love that hung the Son of God upon the cross of Calvary. Did you deserve that? Absolutely not. Well, why did Jesus do that for you? Because He loved you. You know, have you ever looked at your family? And thought, I do whatever it takes to take care of them and protect them. even to the point of my life. You know? When Jesus looked at you and He saw that you were a sinner, and He saw your imperfections, He had such a love for you that He said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to deliver him or her out of the grips of satanic slavery. And so Jesus allowed Himself to be hung upon a cross that we call Calvary. Nails in the hands and feet. And He hung there, and as He hung there, He prayed, not God wipe them off the face of the earth. He prayed, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's love. And when He had hung there long enough, and He had fully paid for the sin of mankind, He cried out, it is finished. That word, teletestai, paid in full. I want to tell you what. You love somebody, it shows by what you do for them. Jesus demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you, in your prayer life, what do you pray for? Paul said, earnestly desire. That means just to the point of jealousy. He said, earnestly desire the best gifts. And then He gives the best gifts, faith, that passion, hope, that expectation, that confidence, and then finally, the best gift of all, love. Have you ever had to pray, Lord, help me to love? Have you? It works. Because I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm just human. And I have trouble loving. And I'll look at people and I'll think, you don't deserve my love. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But I'm reminded of the Savior. And then I ask Jesus, Lord, help me to love like You love. You want spiritual gifts. You want to be a spiritual superhero. Seek these gifts. Pray for them. Ask God for faith, hope, and love. They will change your life. They will change our congregation. They will change the world. You may be here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to give you the opportunity to be saved. Jesus gave His all so that you could have eternal life. He loved you that much. Have you accepted that sacrifice? If not, this invitation's for you to call upon the Lord. Come forward and I'll help you with that. Maybe you're here today and you've been fighting the battles. Boy, life's getting tough and it's getting hard. I just remind you, you've got all you need. You may need to pray. Oh Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me to love. Lord, help me to have that hope, that confidence. Get on your knees and ask for it. Because I believe with all my heart that we serve a God that does not want to limit us on what we have in Him, but rather wants us to have all that's available. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the gifts that are available to us today. The gift of faith, the passion, the belief, the confidence, Lord. I pray that You'd increase our faith, our passion, our desire. I pray, Lord, that You will give us the spiritual gift of hope, that confidence in You, Lord, knowing that You're God and trusting You to be God. Oh, Lord, help us to love. Give us the gift of love where we can look at people and it does not matter whether we think they deserve it or not, but we can look at them with a godly love no matter what. Lord, I pray Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name.